I'm fastening up the giant to say, our Lord and our God, we thank you for this evening. We praise your name because you are the great I am. You are the one who was, who is, and who is to come. The ever existing one. The one who knows no failure. The one who has all power. The one who shuts the door and no man can open. And the one who opens the door and no man can shut. The one who speaks one word. And the whole of the universe will run to attention. We give you all the glory. Lord, we pray here tonight that you do wonderful things. Powerful things. Gracious things. In the name of Jesus. Cause it to happen, Lord. That all those who have come here tonight will not go home with empty hands. In the name of Jesus. Beloved, we are going to raise up our voices now. First thing we are going to do is this. Every spiritual spy in this place, be blinded in the name of Jesus. We put you in darkness in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name, pray. Let any strong man delegated to monitor anyone be paralyzed tonight in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please let's have our seats and check our Bibles.
That's a good belly.
We are starting a very important study tonight, which I think will take us into next week. But let's see how far we go today. And it's an important thing I want you to really concentrate and understand. If you open the door of your house and you sat inside and you don't find that the whole of the house has been bombarded by mosquitoes, if you buy the fleet or whatever it is, or you use broom and you start to kill mosquitoes, as far as that door is still open, all that it will require will be for the mosquitoes to wait for some time. Since the door is still open, they will come in again. This is why you have to listen very attentively tonight. What we are discussing is the reason why so many Christians are in trouble. And then we look at the way out. If we get there tonight. The topic is deliverance of the mind. Deliverance of the mind. In Psalm number 19, verse 14, I pick a verse which we want to keep at the back of our minds before we go on. In Psalm number 19, verse 14, I want us all to read it together as I'm waiting for you to open your Bible. Psalm number 19, verse 14. If you all open it. Amen. Let us read together then. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Once more with a louder voice, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, from that single verse, we could give you up to 20 points. But let's pick one out. One is this. The meditation of a person's heart may be either acceptable to God or unacceptable. That is what we don't call acceptable meditation of the heart. An acceptable meditation of the earth. And so the psalmist pray, the sharpshooter, because the psalmist is a sharpshooter praying, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There is a particular brother who was a Sunday school teacher in his church. And because he was always the one summarizing his Sunday school, the pastor liked him a lot. He was also the friend of the pastor's wife. He used to buy him a shirt when she travels to England. But I didn't know that even as this brother was doing all these things, he had an internal bondage in his life. One day, as the pastor was going somewhere, he was on a bicycle, and he saw this brother, and he waited to greet him. The brother was smoking a cigarette, a stick of cigarette. But you know when he saw the pastor, he threw the stick of cigarette into his pocket. The pastor waited. He had concluded that the pastor would probably come, greet him, and drive away. But the pastor then stayed for a chat. At our fellowship yesterday, I was this, I was that. You know why? The brother was having problems. Because already the fire at the mouth of the cigarette was causing trouble for his tie. The pastor just noticed that the man was dancing on the spot. But he kept talking. He never could express such a thing from a whole Sunday school teacher. But suddenly, you know, you cannot cover the devil for a long time. It's a very poor revival. It's going to explode. Suddenly, the fire burnt out of his pocket. And the cigarette fell on the floor. He looked at it. The man of God looked at it. Pastor shook his head and walked away in sorrow. That is one person. There's another boy who saw something looking like a small dog in the bush close to their house. And without telling his parents, he took this thing looking like a small dog into the attic in the roof. Whenever they gave him food, he divided the food into two, took half upstairs. The parents noticed that he used to go there. And they asked him, what do you normally go to do there? Nothing. What do you go to do up there? Nothing. Amen. It was, the boy did not know. What did the parents know? There was a young lion that the boy saw and thought was a dog. I was keeping it. Keeping it. Hiding it. Telling people nothing. 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 Until one day, the boy forgot to feed this thing for about a week. They had become friends. And the lion had been treating like friends. But a hungry lion does not have friends. When this boy forgot to serve this his pet for a week, I wonder, he was now converted to the moon. And that's the end of the boy's life. His parents just heard screams, rushed to the attic. They could only find parts, bits and pieces of the body. Because the boy usually locked himself when he wanted to attend to his dog, which has now turned out to be a lion. Brother, both examples that I've given to you, the examples of people who have dangerous properties in their possession which eventually landed them in trouble. There are many believers who are keeping such destructive properties in their lives, in their pockets. And many of them, apart from those properties, keep sending invitation card to the enemy all the time. Normally, the people who come for deliverance are divided into three groups. There are those who invite the enemy by inheritance. There are those who invite the enemy by decision. There are those who unconsciously invite the enemy. But for some people again, they are consciously sending invitation cards to the enemy. And it's a very dangerous activity to invite the enemies into your own mind, into your own life. It's even more dangerous if you are not aware of the problem. This is what we are saying tonight. The mind. If it is not free from evil influences, if it is harboring dangerous properties, will eventually land the person in trouble. No matter how spiritually high the person may be, you may call the person sinner, apostle, junior, apostle, whatever name may be the person. You may call the person evangelist, superintendent, any name. Use that mind as dirty properties in it. Beloved, I tell you, he or she is not going anywhere and will continuously be a deliverance candidate. Why is this so? When you learn a man's mind, then you have him. I say that again. When you learn the mind of a person, when you already have that person, when you capture the thoughts of somebody, when you control the person, it's as simple as that. Satan therefore fights tooth and nail for the mind of men. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Second Corinthians 11:3. Look at that interesting verse. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. But he knows that Satan can corrupt somebody's mind.
But
he knows that Satan can manipulate the mind of even God's people. Sometimes with surprising ease, very easily. For example, maybe you're not understanding what I'm saying. Why is it that many people find it difficult to memorize scriptures? Simple. Because as somebody removing from their mind. Simple. It comes to remove the seed. Why is it that some people's mind wander around, they don't pass? It's because that mind is under one evil control. Therefore, the mind of man can jolly well be described as the theater of satanic operation. And the extent to which it can influence your thoughts is the extent to which it can control you. In fact, if human beings refuse to hand their minds over to the enemy, then the devil has nothing else to work with. And you say, but it works on people's body now. Oh yes, but most of the body afflictions originate in the mind. So the mind, therefore, is the center of warfare. Use the battle there, and you lose the whole battle. If you win it there, you won the whole battle. You must listen to these secrets and understand it very well. Satan has instant and immediate access to each person's mind. He has that access. It's only you who can say, no, I employ barricades. I throw you out. Satan has complete picture of our thoughts and of our imagination, including our motives, whether your motive is only on a whim, including your ambitions, whether it's only on a whim, including your intentions, all the secret ambitions,
he
can see it. He knows. Not only this, he is familiar with every weakness and strength of everyone. He knows the defenseless areas. He knows the vulnerable areas. He knows the area which, when he fires, doesn't go like that. And if you permit him, either by carelessness or ignorance, you can plant or remove ideas from your mind. A good thing comes into the mind, and you know that you had a good idea of what to do, suddenly it is gone. It has been removed. It is, I forgot it just now. What I wanted to do just now, and I forgot it like that. Something is wrong with that mind. The devil knows us better than we know ourselves. None of us like to forget our mistakes, our faults. But the devil does not forget. And every wrong feeling, every lust of the heart, every passion, wrong passion, it's stored in the devil's memory bank. He is the one who gives the appetizing suggestions. He offers suggestions that will suit your weakness. The one that will be hard on you and I will make way for progress. You will see that away. That's what the Bible says. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. Look, that the end thereof is death. That way that looks so bad. And the devil keeps people going. The devil keeps people going. I remember a sister that came for prayer. You people just pray for me. I want to marry a pilot. No other profession. Just pilot. And they said, ask God to give you whosoever is here. Now, don't choose your husband by profession. I know, as the devil will have it. He provided for our pilot. But the trouble with the pilot was this. He used to beat her like a boxing bag. And she opened her head and got married to him. Now the beating is getting worse. The devil separates our mind. Turns it upside down. So she doesn't know what to do again. The devil designs evil and clever suggestions. So clever that they will match the person's weakest point and appear to be the right thing to do. He is an expert at making that kind of counterfeit. In deception, in disguise, he is an expert. I want you to think about it this
evening.
He is really in control of your mind. If it is the Holy Spirit, all those things that you are thinking about that are rotten, where did they come from? This is why you cannot take this teaching lightly. The power of suggestion by the devil, pushing that person to people's mind. He said, tell you, as soon as our Master Jesus in the garden, he made him to sweat drops of blood in the garden. Pushing things to the body. You want to carry this cup? And they die because of them. You want to die? Where do you stand to go? That. And the battle raged on. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When things are repeated in the Bible,
it
is very emphasis. The Bible is not a book who likes repeating many things. The Bible's policy is take it or leave it.
It's
not begging you to believe. Not at all. The man. What he's saying is what he's saying. And it's not going to change what he's saying because we are different. No. The standard is the standard. The requirement is the requirement. What he was saying 2,000 years ago, he's saying it now. There's not authority, one single iota. So it's you who will do the changing, not the word of God. The greatest battleground on earth is the heart. Why? Most battlegrounds have two foes fighting. But the heart has three. God wants it. Then, wants it. Mind, the flesh wants it. So sometimes, the evil that people do, they don't sometimes want to do as much as that. But when the flesh now complains with the devil, now it becomes terrible. The psalmist knows that the meditation of somebody's heart may be completely unacceptable to God. And because of that, God may decide to close his eyes to everything the person is saying. Because the Bible says, God does not look the way a man looks. A man will look at the physical. But where is God looking? The heart. That's what he's interested in. The faces may be fine. He may be dressed in jacquard, guinea bacon, three piece suit, seven piece suit, or something like that. But God is not interested in all this. He wants to look at the heart. If God was going to walk by clothes, he should not talk to Elijah at all. Because for 3 years, Elijah did not wash his clothes. There was no water. So must have been smelling. When God was talking to him, I didn't say people should not take their bath. Amen. Shout
hallelujah.
So it's the heart that is interested in. Those unacceptable thoughts now, they are like the door that a man opens and then is using mosquito feet and bleed to kill mosquitoes. Until that area of this man is firmly under God's control, and then it becomes natural for your mind to think the thoughts of God. But when things happen like this, the first place your mind goes to is what God is saying, not what the enemy is saying. When you go to that stage, it's just natural for you. Anything that happens, the most natural thing for your mind is to think God's thoughts. Then you know you have won a great battle. Just the expecting breakthrough. But if you find out that a question can arise, you have for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 days, the enemy completely occupies your mind and fills you with dead of sorrow. You are just starting. I will do 1 minute. In the world of spiritual growth, if the enemy can keep you depressed for just 1 day,
then
he's the one controlling you. He's the one controlling you. Thank God. It's just like somebody who one rain is falling occasionally. This is an out of the window and rain will beat the hand and put it down again. There is no rain. That's how such people are doing. It's God. Occasional people who got on fire. They just come to the house of God. All that happens to them is the overflow. When somebody has been filled with the dream, a little bit is falling down. It's just the trickles that fall from them. Amen. Such people here tonight should really pray and get their mind delivered. This is why the Bible says, He gave me beauty for ashes. The oil, you know what ashes mean? No one disaster falls, they pour ashes on their head. So instead of putting ashes on their head, He gives me beauty for ashes. And so He gave me all of joy instead of mourning. And He gave me garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Think about it, beloved. Paul and Silas were sitting down. They said they want to go to Asia. God said no. So they want to go to the other place. God said no. So they are going to another place again. God said no. They sat. And then suddenly, Paul saw a vision. Somebody said, come over to Macedonia and help us. So he listened to the voice of God. He heard what God was saying. It was God that said, go to Macedonia and then. And Paul and Silas went to Philippi. But when they got to Philippi now, a very converted woman. A big breakthrough. Because Yuma was a very rich woman. She was selling purple clothes. Clothes normally used by dignitaries. So the wonder woman, and you might say, ah, come into my house. Come into my house. Amen. And they came there and they were rejoicing. So yes, truly, truly. Exactly this man. This is wonderful. No wonder. I saw the vision. But the next day, please stand. They cast out demons from the girl. And people say, what? They have removed our source of livelihood. And they attack them. The Bible says they drag them on the floor to the marketplace. And dragging on the floor is not joined by the machine or Rolls Royce. It's not the kind of thing they drag you and you have bruises on your body. You drag the person on the floor. Who will drag the person on the floor in England? We are not doing the roads as much. You even have bruises. Let alone in that place as well. And then they drag them there. And the Bible then said, they made many stripes on them. When the Bible says many stripes, it means 39 stripes. And their whip has something like blade put inside. So when they give it to somebody, they blow it, the flesh of the back will tear like paper. But now, another time, so now put them in the innermost prison, in the dungeon. It could have been winter when it was very cold. And then the cold there, the back is hurting, they drop them on the floor, all because of what? because they cast out them. That's all. They preach the gospel, they cast out them. So that's why they found themselves there. And it was God that said, go there. So, amen. Are you telling me? Sometimes what we call problem are not problems. It's just a power reaction. They cast out demons now. The demons are they attack them again. They threw them into the deepest place. But although the bodies were hurting, the mind was being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ordinary man, an average present day Christian, will have broken down and cried. Because of this work, we didn't marry. Because of this work, we didn't do any wrestling again. We came to this place. We didn't say, whenever you come, God said, you should come. And now you are here. You beat us. You brought us on the floor. Put us in prison. All because we preached the gospel. They were qualified to complain and complain and grumble and be overwhelmed by depression. But the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Then added a little phrase, said, and the prisoners had them. You know that it was not quiet. They were doing it out loud. And now what happened? Earthquake. God shook the place and set his name free. So now, a lot of times, when you allow the enemy to capture your mind, and you are so unhappy, you are so depressed, you are losing a big victory. Big one! 1 minute of your depression may take 20 years miracle away. What will have happened to Paul and Silas? If they just sat down and had a camp, that prison will not shake, the prisoners will not be set free, the jailer will not be saved, and the next time they say, now you can go. They set them free. Think about it. Do you have the garment of praise or the spirit of heaveness? How do you see the heaveness? Maybe you look at the economic situation and you conclude that it's so bad, and the best thing is to be eating the bread of sorrow. What happened is this: you are losing miracles, you are binding God's hand from moving on your behalf, and you are playing the exact game the devil wants you to play so I can fire you. Why don't you behave as if all the problems in the world belong to them? Yes, when Jesus died on the cross, beloved, what was his last statement? It is finished. That's what it's done. In Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your thoughts will dictate the kind of person you have. The mind is where all our troubles begin. Also, it is the place where God begins to work. If you can open half this evening, I'm sure that many of us will run away and never come over. Let's see how seriously the scripture uses this matter. The first time God decided to destroy man, why did he do so? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Listen to this. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why it's the mind. He asked. the facts. That's what God looks at. That's the incubation of everything that we do. And when God did this, then at the Tower of Babel, that's Genesis 11, verse 6. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said,
behold,
these people is one. They all have one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing is being shown for them to do. We can't imagine to do. Because of the imagination again. Go to. Yes, and let us go down. And they have confirmed their language. But they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left up to build the city. Therefore, the name of it called Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence the Lord did scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That Babel is also what is known as Babylon. Amen. Why did God scatter down the imagination of the heart again? This is why you must examine your heart tonight. What type of thing you think about? Who is controlling the place? Do you know? Or some people who speak in tongues and speak in tongues and speak in tongues. But you know, they keep short like this. They start thinking, nothing
else.
Something is wrong somewhere. This is why the Bible makes this important noise. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. What is the noise that the word of God made? Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So above all things, he says, keep your heart. And the bring out the dollar. Yes, sir. This is not me, sir. God bless you, sir. I wish you my nonsense. But this is not me, sir. In the month, the thing that you see. At 3 o'clock, you said the same thing. Then you go. In October, that same year, 10, around 5 o'clock, you said exactly the same thing. I was looking. Then, the bad heart. God said, first heart to the captain. The country work with you. You are bearing God. The God where you are meant to arrive here to do most, I will please God. You are turning to the black record. The right thing back to you. Some people are taped up and blocked up in their mind. But until the power of evil, then you say, what's anybody? They're incubating evil. They're incubating it. They're stopping it. And they don't get clear. And they say, see this gentleman. So you can do a thing like this. So you haven't seen anything yet. And they do it. It's because something is wrong.
With
the heart. So you see people come to God. We come to God. Holy Ghost, fire, follow me. Holy Ghost, fire, follow me. Like I have a voice, fire, follow me. And the fire comes in. Salam, salam. He fell on this person. He fell down his back. No, go to look at the next person. He is ready. Amen. What is kind of deliverance? He woke up in the morning. Just sleep the front of your door mouth. Everybody is back there, I cannot be sleeping with feet of these next people. For that heart. Amen. Such is this. His heart can be bound. In Romans 1:21. So because that when they know God, they glorify the name of God, not by a people, but become born in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, you don't leave the person who binds the heart. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So you, the God of Israel, have blinded the minds of those who believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, the Son of God,
have
blinded heart. No light. In such heart. Instead of light, the heart is split of suspicion. That's what we need. And the third thing, in the first chapter
9,
verse 3. For if any among all things that are done under the sun, but I form a blessing to all, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart, right? They know. The heart can be mad. This is why some ask another person. The art is just like somebody throwing things all over the place. I see the whole of the place is in disarray. First, it always goes from one subject to another, from one subject to another. The art is unreasonable and confused. First, heart. Something else is concerning
you.
Not yet ministry. If the blessed does a very few blessings,
you
will call time to help
you.
Some people are coming to say, oh, I don't know why I'm very nervous in my head. Some people are talking to my head. Because other people are talking to your mind. So. This is where we are going to stop. We shall continue next to the grace of God. The year of stepping out is an area where I want you to really pray aggressively. If you lose the battle of the mind, you lose all battles. All other things are not the wrong. The enemy will then be rejoicing. Because you may be falling through your body and doing all kinds of things to the body. If you get the heart, that's all you
want.
A lot of people will start and give you all, you found you holy, found you set. When your heart is not holy, how can the body be holy? Oh, by the grace of God, I'm born again. By the grace of God, I have the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, I'm sanctified. By the grace of God, I'm living a holy life. But the heart is still confused. Something else is concerning.
My
beloved, the prayer to feed the mind
is
an aggressive prayer. Because it has to be with the controlling center. The steering. I'm going to disease number 6. In this series today, the heart can be doubtful or unstable. Unstable heart. In the book of Psalm, chapter 12, verse 2. Psalm 12:2. It has this to say. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. When the heart is double, then it's unstable. And that passage in James chapter 1 verse 6
said
that it you doubt, if you are wavering, if you are like the storms of the sea thrown here and there, say, let not such a person think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So when the heart is wavering, it's unreliable, it's skeptical, uncertain, then you know something is wrong with that heart. The heart is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is number 7, that the heart can be hard. In Mark chapter 6 verse 52, says this. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. The heart can be hard, treasuring wrath unto itself. So receive this, the heart will still be hard. Take this, the heart will be stubborn. That's what the Bible keeps saying. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. That is another disease of the heart. Some people make up their minds what they want to do, and it doesn't matter what God is saying, they are not ready to change. It's hardness of heart. And under the New Testament, God has no room for hardness of heart. The disciples of Jesus came to Jesus one day, and they began to ask questions about marriage, about several things. Jesus said, once you marry your wife, you can't put your wife away. It is forever, forever, forever. Even if she's the worst witch in the bottom of hellfire, you can't. The disciples says, but Moses told us, we should give them certificates of divorce. Said, that was because of the hardness of your heart. Say, but in the beginning, it was not so. Amen. And he went to explain. So when the disciples heard what Jesus was saying, if the like, regulation is this stuff, so then it is better not to marry. Jesus said, not every man can cope. Amen. So under the New Testament, no room for hardness of heart. There is room for the heart of flesh. God says, I will give you the heart of flesh. A believer is not somebody who sticks to his guns and everybody is saying, please, please, say no, no, no. This is my principle. That principle is it from God? No, but it is my principle. It's hardness of heart. And God does not welcome it. That heart is sick. 8. The heart can be proud. That is, it will feel superior to others. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, it says this. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So when the heart is proud, as in Psalm 101, verse 5, Psalm number 101, verse 5, this is God speaking. Who so privileged slandered his neighbor, him will I cut off. I hope you heard that one very well. Him that hath a high look, and your nose is above the head of everybody like that, and a proud heart will lie not suffer. Amen. A lot of people like to live a show glass life. Like you are putting buns and puff puff inside show glass. That's how they want. When they dress, they want to look different. Like everybody else. They buy a car, it has to be different from that of everybody. Anything they do, it has to be different. A proud heart. The Bible says, seekest thou anything great for thyself? This ungodly ambition, seek it not. Be humble. When somebody is proud on the outside, it's first of all started from the heart. If somebody is humble to you, it starts from the heart. Amen. And you know, it's sometimes strange that when evil things begin to happen, the first people that are cleared off are the proud people. Why? We put a Sunday school class together. This class contains professors, doctors, nurses, lawyers. And then we put a primary six carpenter there. Say, you are the teacher. Teach. And they said, no, can't listen to this one. He doesn't have education. Amen. And then problem starts. Instead of running to the carpenter, no, I'm not going. And they are cut off. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Some people come and they just look and say, well, I am looking for my class. I have class. When I go to a place, I have class. So when they don't find my class, finish, that's it. Don't worry. There is class in hellfire too. That is a proud heart. And sometimes, all these people call my class. They are the ones destroying them. The unfriendly friends. No. The heart can be hypocritical. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Mark 7:6. He answered and said unto them, well, have I thus prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written? These people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Hypocrisy of the heart. Hypocrisy of the heart. Pretending to be what you are not. Smiling, fake smiles. That is one of the problems of the British. Amen. And God is dealing with them for it. Amen. Some people will be killing you right at your back. And they'll be smiling every day. Hey, good boy. How are you? But at the back, it's something else completely. Those who do such things, they are actively working for the devil. This is why we sometimes tell our people that the devil's best work is done by those who claim to love the Lord. Did you hear what they said that brother did? Don't say, I told you. Amen. I know we have a rule here at Mountain of Fire. Somebody comes to you. I said, did you hear what they said about you? Hold the hand. Let us go to this person who said it. If he refuses to go, or she refuses to go, we expel them from here. They are the Akans. Then the same person that you are saying, did you say, ah, in fact, we are praying for you. God help you. God will strengthen you. Or else you don't really mean it. Left to you, if he falls down and die the next minute, the person will be happy. Hypocritical heart. And God hates hypocrisy. Because of that, so the hope of the hypocrite shall vanish, shall perish. God hates it so much. It is hypocrisy when you sit on the fence. So as far as God is concerned, if you know you want to be a Christian, then go deep. Dig deep. Collect everything that God says you should collect. And be very serious with it. If you know you want to be worldly, go pata. Don't you stay in the middle. Because if you stay in the middle, when we fire our arrow at mountain of fire, you collect it. When the devil fires his own arrow, you collect two. Arrow from both sides. So why not get belong to one side thoroughly? Amen. God hates hypocrisy in any form. Now,
listen.
Number 10. The heart can be covetous. Covetousness of the heart. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take it, brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When you read that scripture from the beginning, you'll find the covetousness of the Israelites. You move on now to 2 Peter, the book before Hebrews. Second Peter chapter 2 verse 14, it says this: having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, he hath the heart excised with covetous practices. Then did you hear what he said? Cursed children. Just when the heart is covetous, when I sit on him, I want it. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want it. All these things, they make it to be clear that that heart is sick. 11. The heart can be wicked. When we say wicked, we mean it can be malicious and ungodly. In Proverbs 21:27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A wicked mind. The heart too can be foolish. That's to number 12. That is stupid and unintelligent. In Proverbs 29:11, that is to say, a fool uttereth all his mind, but the wise man kept it in till afterwards. That was Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. How many have we done now? 13. The heart can be carnal. In Romans
8:7.
Romans chapter 8:7. We are saying all this so to be clear to you what we mean by deliverance of the mind. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind will always think of carnal things. Worldly thoughts. Unspiritual thoughts. Materialistic thoughts. That's what feeds the carnal mind. His greatest prayer point is for worldly things. He didn't understand that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things shall be added unto you. He didn't read. The psalmist saying, I have been young.
So
now I'm old. I have not yet seen the righteous being forsaken or his children begging bread. I challenge you to show me a righteous man who is poor. No. 14. The heart can be vain. And this hopeless heart, non-productive, ineffective, as far as God is concerned. In Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their
minds.
When you hopeless thinking, hopeless man, non-productive. 15. The heart can be corrupted. We've already read 2 Corinthians 11:3 last week. Corrupted means decayed and debased and erroneous. They're always talking rubbish, smelling things. The kind of thing that even if they say it over the microphone, they will cover their faces. That's what they had to be thinking of. Such art is corrupted. 16. The heart can be wearied. In Hebrews 12:3. A weary heart. Hebrews 12:3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wounded and faint in your mind. That's Hebrews 12:3. That is, the heart could be tired, stressed, and fatigued. So what are we saying
there?
The mind can minister death or life. Amen.
Amen.
And this is why Jesus in his teaching, he isolated seven problems in the heart. Jesus told us that the heart can be hardened to spiritual reality. Jesus also told us that the heart can be blind and incapable of seeing what is obvious to a spiritual person. Jesus also told us that the heart is where sin begins, not the brain, not the leg, not the stomach. Jesus also told us that the words we speak in our mouth, they are first of all conceived in the heart. Jesus told us that one. Jesus also makes us understand that Satan operates his tempting powers in the heart. Jesus also told us doubt begin in the heart. Sorrow and trouble, they work within the heart. So if the situation is like this, why we then say the word deliverance? Deliverance could be for the body, for the soul, for the spirit. When you got born again, it was your spirit that got born again. Because you got born again, you didn't become taller or shorter. Although some people could become thinner because of fasting. But when you got born again, it was your spirit, your inner man, that got born again. Your soul,
okay,
and it's your mind, it needs to be renewed with the word of God. There are therefore powerful spirits that can influence a person's spirit. Some of these spirits are so powerful sometimes, if it's in the spirit, they can bring out the spirit of a person
out of the body.
Wale yo emi oni e jade kuro lara re.
Those are demons of the spirit.
Awon emi ogun ti emi ni.
Those of you were not here when we did the slumbering spirit.
Awa ti a si ni bi ni gbati a se emi ti nto pe.
Maybe you should go and listen to the tape.
Ya ka lo gbo
yi. Some evil spirits walk on the spirit of man.
Awon emi buru kan sise lori emi eniyan.
But if you let it get born again.
Won ni ke to ba di asibi.
Working on your spirit by evil spirit becomes impossible.
Sise lori emi e lati owo emi buru ko le sese mo.
But they can stay in the soul, they can stay in the body.
Won le gbe nu.
This is why some Christians, although they are born again, they speak in tongues, there are still things chasing them around at night. There are powerful spirits that operate in the soul and also in the body. Since the state of your mind now determines the spiritual quality of your life, then a lot of people need deliverance of the mind before they can enjoy the quality of life God has for them. Have you ever been in a situation where you know there are certain things that you are thinking you don't want to be thinking it, and you try to control, to discipline yourself, but suddenly the thoughts are back? Sometimes things creep into your mind that you would rather prefer that people don't write down. If you pass through, if you are passing through a kind of state, there is only one thing wrong. That is a gap between where God wants your mind to be and where it is now. And that gap has to close. If it's not closed, and the person is falling far short, falling behind, the person is missing the mark, eventually at the end of the day, beloved, such people will find themselves in hellfire because of their heart. And they may get to the throne of grace. Somebody says, "Why? We warned you about this."
Akilo fun ni pa ile.
So what do you mean by warn me, sir?
Kilo nso ni pa po kilo.
So we warned you several times.
Akilo fun la mo yegba.
Through the scriptures.
Nipa ibe.
Through the ministers of God. But you please listen.
Mo ko la di gbo.
So but I didn't commit fornication. I didn't take anybody's wife.
O baya laya.
So but you're always thinking evil.
Sugbo nro ibi.
Against yourself.
Lodi si ara.
Human life is governed and controlled by thoughts.
Aye eniyan ni ero re ndari
and imaginations of the mind.
Ati on to wa
lati oko. As we're sitting down now, listen to the word of God.
Ojo ti an gboro Olorun.
There are people who are busy planning now how they are going to do commit their arm robbery tonight.
Awon kan wa ti won jogo ti won pinu bi won se jale lale.
There are some people now who are ironing their dresses, they want to go to the prostitute.
Awon kan wa ti won lo aso, won fe lo sile awon asewo.
It starts from the mind.
Lati okan lo ti bere.
There.
Nibe.
If something can just scratch that thing out of their mind, then what they want to do, they can do. Immediately the thoughts of the heart differ from the thought of Christ. Satan and his demons move in. Once your mind is not in the following states that I'm going to mention now, then you need deliverance of the mind. That is the truth, beloved. What state does God want our mind to be? In Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, unfortunately, many Christians are very poor at Bible reading. Some read just to quieten their conscience. Others have turned the Bible to a bigger charm, just to increase the size of the pillow. Others have turned it to a sleeping tablet, so that when they find it difficult to sleep, they
the
Bible. Others want to make echo.
I'm not very younger.
So they went and bought King James, and they don't understand.
When there are simpler
Bibles around. Simpler Bibles
around. Others
go around with Gideon, New Testament. And the devil is quite happy. Keeping people like that. An average Christian should know nothing less than 56 memory verses. Sorry, 52 memory verses. Let's assume that he's been learning, he learns one every week. every week of the year.
Yeah,
and if he's been born again for 5 years,
he's
supposed to know 52 times 5.
Oh, yeah,
we're not even saying that one.
Ah, yes,
at least an average Christian,
and if you back,
who is thoroughly reading the Bible,
should
at least have 52 memory verses in his head.
Oh, yeah,
if it's not so,
so bad,
no wonder the mind of many people are not renewed. Because that's the only thing that can renew your mind. When you pack your heart full with the word of God, there are many things that cannot come in. Because
you
know they raise their head, you say it is written. But when you don't know what is written, so how will they go? Amen.
Amen.
This is a very serious affair. The devil is quite happy. A lot of people can recite all kinds of books
for us.
And recite poetry. And tell the stories of tortoise without missing one word from what their grandfather told them. But call them now. Say, okay, give me the names of the 12 disciples of Jesus. Shall I give it a try now? Will I challenge you? Call about 10 people and ask them to tell me the names of Jesus' disciples. All 12. You find that they probably remember John, Peter,
Matthew.
Mm-hmm. From there, trouble starts. Amen. Isaiah.
Where, Isaiah?
26. Verse
3.
Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusted on thee. An healthy mind. The first mark.
I'm making
it. It has perfect peace. Peace.
Alafia.
In the heart.
Ninu okan.
The reason the world is in disarray.
Eji ti aye fi tuka.
Is because in the heart of man there is war going on.
O nipe lokan eni ogun lo.
So that war they transfer it outside.
Ogun ina wa mu wa sita.
To people.
Fun awon eniyan.
They are armed robbers and shooting people all over the place.
Awon adigun ja leyin
ibo. Gunshots are first of all going on in their heart.
O nipe ninu okan won gan ni ota ibon tin farahan.
Before they start shooting it outside, people steal money. Why they should not steal money? It's because it's in their heart. That's the time they jailed a whole professor for selling rice. And he began to say, well, you people that are going to jail me now, by jailing me, it's a disgrace to my village. Why didn't you think about that? Amen. But perfect. When your heart is in perfect peace, a healthy heart will be humble.
Okan ti o da yo nirele.
Humble.
Yo nirele.
So,
ekeni.
In Romans chapter 12 verse 2.
Rome orikejila ese ikeji.
I'm talking about the healthy heart.
Anso nipa okan ti ara re da.
Romans 12 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A healthy heart will have been transformed by renewal. Transformed by renewal. Number 5. In Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The healthy mind will have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And what is the mind of
Christ?
He came to die for sinners. He gave himself. He was a source of blessings to others. He was not selfish. He was sinless. Let that mind be in you. 6. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7.
2
Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. A healthy heart to be a sound mind.
You
rightly divide the word of God.
You
won't just wake up one morning and say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. Over here, for example, even if the parent of somebody was carrying fire on the head, we don't supply alcohol for wedding, for anybody. Amen. If you expect alligator pepper,
so we
will bring Nico's with. Amen.
Yeah.
But some people can say, you don't know my father. You don't know my mother. They will not accept. So you don't have to know your mother or your father. The only person we need to know is the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes they go to another place and get strange counseling. The funny pastors will tell them, give unto
Caesar.
What is Caesar? The question is your father Caesar? Amen. Sound mind. And the last one.
It's okay.
In Revelation 17:9.
If you already get that, you don't go and say,
and here is the mind which has wisdom.
You
can read the rest of that place later. A healthy heart will be a mind filled with wisdom. Amen. Perfect peace. Loving God with all the heart. Humility of the mind. Transformation by renewal. The mind of Christ. A sound mind. A mind filled with wisdom. Check your mind with all this.
Because
then you know whether there is sickness there or not. And if the mind is then sick, that sickness is the food of evil spirits. And they come. And therefore, see, you have spirits of confusion. I'm telling about the demons of the mind. Spirits of confusion. Spirits of fear. Spirits of pride. Lust. Criticism. Spirit of poverty. Do you know that poverty is a spirit? And stays inside the heart. If somebody sees that and says, well, my grandfather was poor. My grandmother was poor. Therefore, he himself must be poor. So that one is already there. A spirit. Violence. It's under demon of the heart. Worry. It's under demon of the heart. A lot of the sisters will look more beautiful if they stop worrying
themselves.
And this is a vicious circle. God provides this. God says, wait. Now you are getting worried. Because you are getting worried, your worry becomes unbelief. It comes to fear. It cancels your prayer. You are back to square one. Envy.
Ilara.
It's under demon of the heart.
Emi buru okan nani.
Laziness.
Ole.
It's under demon of the heart.
Emi ogogun je okan nani.
Amen. Ignorance.
I love you.
It's under demon of the heart.
Emi buru ti okan nani.
Depression.
Enira.
Something just envelops the heart beam.
Ogogun gbe okan na
wo. At that level,
nipo yi.
Such people lose interest in living. They lose interest in everybody. They lose interest in anything.
Very enikeni was very ungodly.
Rejection.
Because
that's demon of the heart. Demon of the mind. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants me. This is a normal reaction. I know that they are just liking me now. Sometimes they won't like me again. Spirit of rejection. So people, when you tell them, I believe the Bible says, when my mother and my father forsake me, it is then God will say, welcome. Demon of rebellion is in the heart. A mother told the son, don't stand on that place. He refused. He said, I will spank if you stand there. He still refused. So the mother gave him some beating.
Then he left the place and sat in another place. Then the mother said, well, so you see, now this is what you learn by not listening to instructions. He said, Mama, I'm standing there in my heart. Amen. This is rebellion. It's a thing of the mind. Self-importance. Amen. Some people will change their style of walking. Bend to one side. And wriggle a little bit more. Because I just want people to know that
well,
that important. Some to expand the shoulders. They are demons.
They
are demons. Deception.
Etanje.
Sound that demon of the heart. Sexual perversity. The demons of the heart. Wicked imagination. The demons of the heart. Why should a small boy light catch a rat? Put the rat inside the box. Then they will light, strike a match. And be using it to burn the tail of the rat. How could you imagine that kind of thing? Smoked imagination. Frustration. It's a demon of the heart. Greed. It's a demon of the heart. Amen. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
At one spiritual clinic a long time ago, I gave the illustration of a poor man. He was really poor. Then somebody gave him an offer. So come, you are blessed today. So what to do is this. See this land? Just begin to walk it. The longer you can walk, the more land will give to you. And the man started to walk. And he began to walk. And he walked and walked and walked. Until he fell down and died. Greed.
Amen.
He wanted as much of the land as possible. So he kept moving until his last strength was gone. Impatience. It's a serious demon. Beloved, if we remove impatience from marriage, the place will almost be heaven. Impatience. Suicide. It's a demon of the heart. So that's why it's very interesting in a place like England and some places in Europe. Some people will say they want to die. They will go and climb a top building. And then the government spends so much money training people to persuade them not to jump. So once they climb the thing like that, they will stay there for a while. Then somebody climbs and say, come down. Life is sweet. Why should you jump like this? Occasionally, they abuse the father of the person talking and jump. It's a demon. Lack of concentration.
I focus.
Not concentrate.
Man
is so easy.
It's
a demon. Uncontrollable thoughts.
You
cannot put foot to back. So stop thinking this. They are the demons of the heart. In 2 Corinthians now, chapter 10, from verse 4.
That is a caring.
2 Corinthians 10,
4.
That's
a caring.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God,
for
the pulling down of
strongholds,
casting down imagination, and every high thing exalts itself against knowledge of God, and making it a captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it is a spiritual warfare to capture these things that are bothering the heart. How then do you deliver your mind? One,
Ekene. Believe what God has said about the enemies of the mind.
Ba ohun ti Olorun wi gbo nipa ta okan.
Which is what you have been saying since last week.
Eni pe ohun ti a tin so lati jejo.
Believe what God has said.
Ba ohun ti Olorun wi gbo.
About the enemies of the mind.
Nipa ta okan.
That is, know that they are there.
Mo gbo wa nbe.
Two.
Ikeji.
Learn how these enemies are played.
Ko bi awon ta tin sise.
Learn how they are played.
Ko mo tin sise.
Three.
Egeta.
Have a definite plan for resisting the enemy.
Ni pinu gidi lati ko ta.
You have a plan that look.
Oh, ni pinu gbo.
Look is enough.
O to go.
Four.
Ekerin.
Know how to use your resources in Christ.
Mo bi o se lo awon alumoni re nu Christ.
Because we have so many resources.
Ni owolopo anfani
la. We should use them.
Se su gbodo lo won.
How many have I told you now? Five. Incubate your mind with the word of God. You must become a Bible addict. Carry it around. All the powder, all those things, materials of dead bones. Many sisters place in their
Bible.
First of all, put in the Bible. Then put in other things.
Know
that the materials of dead men's bones
will
occupy the place. Then the Bible has no space to
go.
Amen. And the last one. Put up violent aggression against the enemy. Violent aggression. Beloved, this is how to go about deliverance of the mind. Because of that, next week, we are going to spend 1.5 hours here in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
We are going to call it a prayer battle. For next Wednesday.
For Jamaica.
And we're going to start on time.
As it is better.
So be telling your guy at the place of
hope.
After all, unbelievers.
I like that.
Even when they are not sick,
but
not
just shyson.
They go and collect sick leave.
I look by way, one shyson.
They say they are sick.
I know,
so I'm not that I'm sick.
You go, shyson.
But I'm going to a clinic on Wednesday. Amen. So next Wednesday, 1.5 hours,
Njabijo.
We are praying on this. Because this is the root of many things. And they have to be approached. We are going to rise up on our
feet.
You lay your hands on your mind, on your chest. I rebuke all the spirits operating against the soundness of my mind.
Mo ba gbogbo emi to yise lodi si iye ko ro okan ni wu.
I rebuke all the spirits operating against the soundness of my mind. In the name of Jesus.
Mo se lodi si gbogbo awon emi ti sise lodi si iye ko ro okan mi ni oruko Jesu. Gbadura.
This after me.
So I don't want to tell him.
I possess the mind of Christ. I possess the mind of Christ.
I just have some come to tell me. Mugbe okan Kristi. Wa. Mugbe
ọkàn kírísì wọ.
Tonight, before you go to bed, give that prayer point 10 minutes. Amen.